Johnson. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's 3 p.m., and that means we're talking money. And I couldn't be more humbled and privileged to welcome my next guest, Dorothy Brown, the Martin Ginsburg Chair of Taxation at Georgetown University Law Center and author of The Whiteness of Wealth: How the Tax System Impoverishes Black Americans and How We Can Fix It. Dorothy is a nationally recognized scholar in the area of race, wealth, and tax policy, and she also currently serves as an inaugural member of the Treasury Advisory Committee on Racial Equity. Welcome, Professor Brown. Thank you so much for making time for us.
Well, thanks so much for inviting me. I'm delighted to be here.
This is so critically important. Over the last couple of weeks, nearly every day, in various ways during this half hour of my show, we've been talking about this fundamental fact that we tax work much more heavily than we tax wealth and the investment income that people earn. And this has a particularly pernicious racial wealth disparity impact. So, but I want to start at the very beginning, because you began in a place thinking that tax policy was neutral, since tax laws don't mention race at all. And your research led you to the conclusion that it actually does have this disparate racial impact. Tell us about your evolution. How did you end up studying this, and what has your research shown you over time?
So I grew up in the South Bronx, and I dealt with racism regularly. And I knew I wanted to be a lawyer, but I decided I wanted to do a type of law that had nothing to do with race. Racism shaped so much of my day-to-day life. I didn't want it to shape my job. So I said, oh, I know, I'm going to be a tax lawyer because the only color that matters is green. So I go about my business. I go to law school. I get an LLM in tax. Meanwhile, as a good daughter, I'm doing my parents' tax returns. And I'm getting the idea that something is wrong. I'm doing everything right. Their tax return is very simple. My mother was a nurse. My father was a plumber. Their incomes were roughly equal. Some years my mother would make more than my father. Some years my father would make more than my mother. But it was in like more than $1,000. And I didn't give it a second thought. I just knew something was wrong, even though I was applying the law the way it was supposed to be applied. So fast forward, I become a law professor, and instead of an investment banker, which is what I was doing when I was doing my parents' tax return, I had time to think and I had time to read. And I read an article that asked the question, how do you know there isn't a race and tax problem if you don't look? I almost fell off my chair. I'm like, race and tax, really? So I said, okay, let me look. And the first thing I discovered was the IRS and Treasury don't publish statistics by race.
Isn't
that? And I think that's really important.
That is revelatory. It's like, between me and you, Dorothy, we could stop talking right there and be like, if you ain't measuring it, you know something funky's going on. Because like my spidey sense goes right away. Like, oh, they're not tracking racial demographics. That's fascinating. That. I'm sorry. Continue.
No. Thank you, Maggie, because that's like a really big part of this story.
Yes.
The narrative that taxes, of course, are race neutral. Why would we track it? We don't disadvantage anyone. We don't even collect the data. But what we know is, for example, there's a study out of Stanford in January 2023 that showed if you were Black and filed for the Earned Income Tax Credit, you were 3 to 5 times more likely to be audited than if you weren't Black. So this agency that says, oh, we don't collect race, you know, finds a way to use audits as heat-seeking missiles towards Black taxpayers, right? So step one,
well, and friend, we could talk about auditing the Earned Income Tax Credit and how stupid it is to chase those dollars when we got billionaires dodging in the lowest effective tax rates and go ahead, friend. I'm just popping out of my chair here on the other end of the radio.
Exactly. So once I realized that the data wasn't available, I had a choice. I could say, oh, well, I guess I can't study it. Or I could say, wait a minute. This seems odd. And let me, instead of looking for tax data, I looked at race data and applied my tax lenses to it. And then I was able to unpack the mystery of my parents' tax returns, which really is about something called the marriage penalty. Mm. When two people get married, their tax rates could stay the same. They could go up or they could go down. If your tax rates go up because you pay a higher tax as a result of getting married, we call that the marriage penalty.
Yes.
If your tax rate goes down, we call that the marriage bonus. Well, couples like my parents, where the spouses earn roughly equal amounts, get hit with the marriage penalty. Mm. So my parents were paying so much in taxes because they were married to each other and they contributed roughly equal amounts. And that was just the beginning. That was just the tip of the iceberg. Once I started down this path, whichever tax provision I looked at, I found racially disparate outcomes.
It's like, I hate using this movie reference, Professor Brown, but I feel like it's the Matrix. Like once you see it, you can't unsee it. And then you see it every single place.
Yes.
You say in your book that the system of wealth building in the United States, and if folks have been listening to the show, you know that we value income earned from wealth more than we value as a society, because our tax policy tells us so, then we value income earned from work. So the system of wealth yes. building, we already know, is prejudiced against work. But you say further that the system of wealth building, prejudiced against work, is also designed to build white wealth, not black wealth. Why is that?
Because of the types of assets that are subsidized through our tax laws. So let's pick home ownership. That's one of my favorites,
yes.
right? So the majority, like 74% of white Americans are homeowners. The majority of white Americans have been homeowners since at least 1950.
Yep.
In 1940, the majority of white Americans were not homeowners. But thanks to FHA insurance, thanks to government intervention, the minority of white American homeowners became a majority between 1940 and 1950. Well, those programs expressly excluded Black Americans from benefiting from it. We had redlining. We had an FHA that would not insure mortgages in Black neighborhoods. Okay, so anytime we have subsidies for homeownership, we are subsidizing a raced asset. And it's a raced asset because our federal government did it that way.
And in case people have never heard this before, I want to emphasize this point because it's so crucial. Before the FHA and the federal government insured and underwrote basically home purchases for the middle class, you had to basically walk into a bank and plunk down the money to buy the house, or at least the vast majority of it. It wasn't, oh, I got 20 Absolutely. Or 30% down. That's what changed between the 40s and the 50s. And the redlining Right. that Professor Brown is speaking of was published by the federal government, and it basically drew red lines, because warning, around neighborhoods that were predominantly Black and brown and said, this is not a good investment. This is not a good insurable mortgage risk. And as a result, Black and brown families didn't get the federal assistance, the federal underwriting, the federal subsidies for housing. And we know now that yeah. housing boom for white households is how white families built generational wealth that we see
exactly.
today in many ways.
That's exactly right. So we have tax subsidies for home ownership, not just with the mortgage interest deduction. There's a tax break if you sell your home at a gain.
Yeah.
Up to $500,000 of that gain, if you're married, you can receive tax free.
Yeah.
So when we talk about who's a homeowner and who's going to sell a home at a gain at $500,000, we're really talking about generally white
folks.
Okay. So the way we build wealth through homeownership benefits white Americans more than Black Americans, even when we compare white homeowners to Black homeowners, because white Americans and Black Americans do homeownership differently. White Americans tend to live in almost all white neighborhoods. Black Americans tend to live in racially diverse or all Black neighborhoods. And if a Black American is like the only Black American in an all-white neighborhood, then they will have access to that increased wealth. But it comes at a price.
Yeah.
It comes with you being the only Black person in your neighborhood and your neighbor perhaps calling the cops on you one day when you're trying to get in your house like they did on Ving Rhames in L.A.
Yes.
Or if you have children that go to school, your children are going to be tagged as discipline problems when they do the exact same thing their white peers do.
And expelled at higher rates and disciplined at higher rates.
Absolutely.
All of we got to put a pin in it. We're going to come back. My guest this half hour is Professor Dorothy Brown. She is the Martin Ginsburg Chair of Taxation at the Georgetown University Law Center and author of The Whiteness of Wealth, How the Tax System Impoverishes Black Americans and What We Can Do to Fix It. Because I want to get to that part. We know about the redlining. And listen, here in Wisconsin, in the Milwaukee Metropolitan Statistical Area, the most segregated MSA in the country, that book, The Injustices of Place, right? That,
yes.
The Color of Law, all of these things. We're going to give folks some resources. We're going to put that on the show page for today so you can read more about this. We're going to continue to break it down with Professor Brown, and we're going to talk about what we can do about it. When we come back after these brief messages, it is the 3 o'clock hour, folks, and that means it is Maggie talking about the millionaires and money, money, money here on the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Maggie Dawn. We're joined by Professor Dorothy Brown. We'll be back in just a moment here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked, everybody.
Don't you have homes?
Smiling faces sometimes pretend to be your friend. Smiling faces show no trace of the evil that lurks within.
Or the evil that lurks within a facially, racially neutral tax code, but actually is not at all racially neutral in impact. That's what we're talking about this afternoon on Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. My special guest is Professor Dorothy Brown, who's the Martin Ginsburg Chair of Taxation at Georgetown University Law Center and the author of The Whiteness of Wealth, How the Tax System Impoverishes Black Americans and How We Can Fix It. Thank you again for making time, Professor. We were talking about basically, the federal government underwrote, I'm using that term in a broad sense,
yes,
underwrote white middle class home ownership coming through the 50s. Home ownership, the equity, the increase in value has built wealth, intergenerational wealth that then helps with educational attainment, acquiring more wealth, being able to invest. We have a tax code that privileges wealth over work by taxing wealth less than work. It shows up in another pernicious way, too. You know, we passed these laws in the 60s and the Fair Housing Act and the Civil Rights Act, and it was supposed to fix these things. And yet, Professor,
we
know that Black families walking into a bank to get a mortgage, less likely, even if they're way more well-qualified to receive that credit than a white family. Some of the statistics here are really shocking. Share a little bit of that with us, what your research has shown, Professor.
So what you see is subprime mortgages. Black and Hispanic families were targeted for subprime mortgages more than white income, white taxpayers with lower income levels. So what you, because subprime mortgages paid the mortgage broker at a higher fee than a regular mortgage. Yes. So even though a Black and Hispanic American were qualified for conventional financing, the mortgage broker steered them into subprime lending. We also see appraisal differences that an appraisal can come to a home, and if they see Black pictures on the wall and they think this is a home owned by a Black American, they will value it less than, and this has been tested, they come back and they this Black homeowner had their white neighbor sit in the house and remove all the Black pictures. The appraisal went up like a couple hundred thousand dollars.
A couple hundred thousand dollars. I, dear friend of mine was like, Maggie, come on over. We're having a painting party. I said, why? I said, well, she was selling her house. She's like, I got to whitewash the house so it looks like white folks live here. And that's what we did. She literally like unblacked her house.
Yes.
It was, it had people, does anything look too Black, too ethnic in the house? Folks, if you haven't seen these statistics, Google is available to you. There's a whole system of information out there on the internet. You can Google house lending disparities, appraisal disparities by race. The studies are legion. It is proven fact. And here's the next thing that I wanted to ask you about, Professor. If we look at all of this as getting driven, the sort of first domino was, again, this federal underwriting of white home ownership, memorialized in redlining, discriminatory lending policies. It goes on and on. Then we doubled down on this as a society by tying the funding of public education, right, to property taxes, exacerbating the problem.
So, absolutely. And there's a book out by Andrew Carl, the historian, called The Black Tax, where he shows how racially discriminatory property taxes have always been and continue to be.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Black
Tax. It's almost depressing.
It is very depressing. So
almost.
But that's right. Because I want to ask you, what can we do? And here's the thing that I love about this. When I talk to white folks who get all, you know, ornery about talking about issues about race, I say, listen, we do better by Black folks and make the tax code work more fairly. It also will work for you because you work for a living. So how do we make this system less racially disparate? How do we make our tax code more fair?
So that's, you know, you raise an excellent point. And one of the things I always emphasize is tax laws may disadvantage Black Americans more, but it also disadvantages white Americans. And we cannot lose sight of that.
Yes.
Right. So, you know, there's a tax break for retirement accounts, but about half of white Americans don't have it. So it may be 2/3 of Black Americans, but half of white Americans don't have it. So, you know, reforming our tax laws are going to help white Americans who work for a living, like Black Americans who work for a living. And, you know, one of the things that I think needs to take place is taxing income from labor at the same rate that we tax income from stock and income from capital. It's unfair that I work hard. I work every day and I pay tax at a high rate. But if I sit at home and check my balance to see if the dividend was put into the account, I pay tax at a low rate. I'm just sitting there doing nothing, right? That's how whiteness of wealth is built. We have a tax break for inheritance. So gifts and inheritance. And let me be clear, it's easier to build wealth when somebody gives it to you.
Yes. Money makes money, and it's sure easy when you start with a lot of it in the bank before you've worked a minute in your life. So we're talking about the difference between income tax levels and capital gains tax. We're talking about the estate tax exemptions. No damn good reasons for any of this. In fact, the argument that I make is people who work need to work. People who invest, that's the gravy. That's the money they got left over after they've paid for medical, house, roof over their head, food on the table, heating, electricity, and shod their children. They got leftovers. That's their investment money, right?
That's right. That certainly should not be taxed at a lower rate than the tax on wages.
If somebody's listening right now and they want to learn more about this, if they want to ask a candidate an insightful question about this, Where should they go to learn more? And what is the one question people should be thinking about asking candidates for whatever office we're talking about?
Well, so if it's a local office, I would ask about how they're trying to make property tax assessments fair, right? If it's local, I would do that. If it's national, then I would ask whether they support taxing income from wages equal to income from investments. And if they say no, find another candidate to support.
Yeah. If you work for a living, if you've got a trust fund and you just sit at home on your patoot, your economic self-interest is in it. Don't tax that wealth so much. No.
That's right.
Tax the work. Professor Brown, it is really a pleasure and a privilege. I have such deep respect and reverence for your work. I would love to have you come back again because this is so critically important.
We just started.
Oh, wonderful. I love that. Her book is The Whiteness of Wealth, How the Tax System Impoverishes Black Americans and How We Can Fix It. We'll put that title as well as the title of a couple of the other books that we mentioned during this segment in our show blurb for today. Thank you again, Professor Brown. For this edition of Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money, she's not a millionaire. She's one of us folks that work for a living. Thank you so much, Professor.
You're welcome.
Be well. We've got more Maggie Dawn Show coming up next with my friend and yours. The host of the new Dom Salvia Show is going to be joining me. We'll riff on the debate, maybe talk about some memorable presidential debate lines. There's a lot of them, Brian. A lot of them. So you're going to catch the farm update, and then Dom and I will be back. My little buddy's coming on the show. I'm so excited. Keep it locked, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.